Hey everybody, it's Andrew from the Family Gamers Podcast. We talked about Granite Game Summit last week that Anitra went to, and this week we have an interview from that very con. Anitra was able to sit down with Jeff Johnston, the creator of Toasted or Roasted, Flashlights and Fireflies, and Moonquake Escape! He's a pretty funny guy, he's dynamic personality, and Anitra had a great time talking to him, so I do hope that you will enjoy it.
So I am here with Jeff Johnston.
Hi, Anitra.
And we're here to talk about all three of the games that I know that you've made. Here at Granite Game Summit, you've been showing Moonquake Escape all weekend.
Yes, and you pronounce that almost correctly. Moonquake Escape is usually how people say it.
Fair enough.
But I'll forgive you this time. Okay.
So I have been seeing this game for almost 3 years now. I think I first saw it at Boston Fig 2.5 years ago. But this is the first time I ever got a chance to play it, and I'm so happy that I did. It is a light strategy game that is hilarious to play, and I love that it can be either very take that, like, no, I'm going to pull you back down off the mountain, or it can just be everybody kind of working individually to get up to the goal.
Yeah.
Just the occasional jab here and there.
Yeah, well, thanks, Anitra. I mean, having worked on a game that long, you do get a chance to, like, just kind of see how people react to it, and sometimes there's ways you can, you know, change the way you've presented the mechanics so that they, you know, aren't forced to do something they don't want to. And you know, that was actually a long learning experience on this particular project, Moonquake Escape. And yes, I have been working on it that long. And so thank you very much for taking some time out of your busy playing schedule to actually sit down and experience it firsthand. I've got a standard kind of 3.5 minute pitch I give to people, which is usually a lot of fun, but you get more when you're actually in the
sure.
driver's seat of some of the decisions you get to make.
Well, for our listening audience who unfortunately can't see the game, which the game it's I love, it's a very cartoony space feel, and it's got pieces sticking up all over the place, and the board rotates, and it's great. But for our listeners, give us your pitch of how you try to get people in to play your game.
Yes.
Other than just yelling Moonquake across the entire convention hall.
And that often just scares people away. But Moonquake Escape takes place on a desolate planet at the edge of the galaxy, and all the players are prisoners there that have been, you know, kept safely away from the peaceful population. But due to some unexpected circumstances on this planet, a massive moonquake strikes, destroying the prison and allowing you all to escape to the surface, where you realize at the same critical moment there is only one rocket left. And the first one of you that can get there can escape, and the rest of you, your death sentence.
It is a one-passenger rocket.
Exactly,
yes.
Exactly, yeah. And the basic mechanic in the game is a very simple one, and basically you just need to keep this card that represents your alien face down and hidden. And as long as you can keep face down, you're able to move towards that rocket and be able to launch it. And you try to help yourself being hidden by surrounding yourself with some more cards to make it a little harder for the other players to find you. But those cards that you're surrounding yourself with, some of them actually might have a bad effect on you if another player turns them over, or they might actually have a rebounding effect on your attacker. So there's really some unusual circumstances that might, unexpected, I would say, circumstances might pop up throughout the game. And you really have to, take some part of the game to figure out how you're going to maybe manage some of those. And other parts of the game, you're really just going to have to react on the fly and come up with your new plan.
Mm-hmm.
So.
So I've been enjoying this game quite a bit. How many years did you say you worked on it?
Yeah, I think I started this in 2013 was sort of the first idea. And I was actually... my son was in college, and he was going to be taking an entrepreneurial class, you know, and I had just started the hobby of, you know, game making, and I had a game being published and was working on another one. And I said, hey, son, why don't we design a game together? You know, and that could be your entrepreneurial project. We could kickstart it and do all that. And, you know, I've never really heard a faster no in my life. You know, my son was not at all interested in working with dad on his college project. So he went off and did some very interesting things. But the origin of, you know, Moonquake Escape was, I had done another game. It was a very simple game for younger players. You're playing flashlight freeze tag at night. And so you had this fundamental kind of hide and seek mechanism going on where you're hiding yourself in the woods. Mm-hmm. But you have to catch fireflies to power your special firefly-powered flashlight. So that game's called Flashlights and Fireflies, and Game Right published it and did a wonderful job. You know, they added some great artwork in that. And this
they
is a very, very fun game. Yeah, a very fun game for younger players. In fact, they took some of the things that I had, some little things I was doing in it, and just took them out, edited them out to just make it just more accessible to younger players. And so that was the hide and seek aspect of Moonquake Escape, and then you would go 1, 2, 3, 4 spaces to get to home base. And so the two inspirations for a new game would be, I just thought, what would be clever if I gave you a bluffing mechanism? If you could just put something over one card, that why did that player put it over that card? Is that player trying to protect themselves so they can remain hidden, or are they trying to lure me away? So just adding that one simple mechanism there. And then I just started playing with the concept of a round board that might move. What if the board could bring players together in an unexpected way? I didn't really know where that was going to go, but I just started that when it was just a very simple, I mean...
But rather than the straight, you know, there's four spaces on the board, and you just... Yeah.
So now maybe there's some circles, but at one moment you were away from the players, and now suddenly you're together. So I didn't know where that would lead, but I just started with those two things. And then I just said, well, it's a competitive game, so let's put it on what's round? Oh, a planet. So, you know, now it's a... And why would you compete? Okay, you're aliens to the last rocket.
And why would it move?
And why would it move? Right. Now it was a Moonquake. That was actually a struggle, because it was a prison moon was originally what it was. As I developed the game, I actually introduced a component that was a moon going around the planet. So now I was like, okay, all right, well, no, okay, it's still a Moonquake, but it's caused by the moon. You're on it. Anyway, I am rambling a bit, aren't I?
That's all right.
Anyway, so this is Moonquake Escape, and that's how I just started that. And it was around, you know, 2013, and I just started working on it, and I got introduced to the Boston Festival of Indie Games. Mm-hmm. So I entered it in that. Even before that... just going to the Boston Festival of Indie Games, I was introduced to the Game Makers Guild, a meetup group in Boston where a bunch of game designers get together and we playtest our games, our terrible games, I usually like to call them, and help make them better. And we welcome everybody to come to that. Game designers, playtesters, just people that want to learn new games and just love games. We love people that come that don't have games. And many of us show up at the meetings without anything that we're testing to just help the other designers.
It's fun to try new things. Yeah.
Exactly, and so through all of that, I've you know been using those resources to just help, you know, evolve Moonquake Escape to what it is. I'm a game designer by hobby, not by trade. I don't know what I'm doing. I design by feel. So, you know, I observe things and I listen, and people, you know, give you criticism and constructive criticism, and sometimes you figure out a way to solve the problem, and sometimes you're just aware of the problem and you know, you find three problems and you find one fix and you say, oh, great, I can fix, you know, three things with that, you know, and those those have been fun moments throughout this process. So.
Oh, that's great. Well, I will say, as someone who does this as a hobby, you're certainly doing a pretty good job as a hobbyist, since you have three games published by three separate publishers.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I did. And that's all dumb luck, you know. Sometimes you're just in the right place at the right time, and
I don't know, maybe.
You know, the first one, I didn't really know what I was doing, but I created a game. It actually goes back. The first game I created was sort of a. I was talking with a colleague at work, and he had just said, you know, one of his bucket list items was he wanted to write a book. And that just got me to thinking about, you know, well, what would be my bucket list thing? And I said, you know what? I'd like to walk into a store and see a game on the shelf and just say that was a game I created. You know, because as a kid, you know, playing games with families was just something I always had. So that was just sort of my bucket list item. So it just got me thinking about, you know, what kind of game would I make? So, you know, I was thinking of, you know, very simple family games and, you know, what kind of theme would it be about. And I kind of settled, you know, our family likes camping and things like that, you know. So just sort of settled on this, you know, theme about toasting marshmallows. So this first game I created, you try to light a campfire and toast three marshmallows while everyone else is trying to turn them into blackened crisps. And, you know, I kind of borrowed the core mechanic kind of from the approach of Mealborn, if you're familiar
yes,
with that
I am,
one.
Yeah,
so it's sort of a, you know, lighting your campfire is sort of like the go state.
Yeah.
And then, you put your marshmallow actually physically onto this piece that looks like a stick. So it's kind of cute. And so it has to kind of like, you know, go around a turn, but other players can, you know, kind of roast it while you're trying to play your toasted card. And so that was called Toasted or Roasted. And I did that in, you know, around 2007 was when I was really trying to, you know, find a home for it. And it was a very different environment back then. I mean, you know, there wasn't crowdsourcing. I was actually working with a toy agent named Carol Rettmeyer. And she, you know, actually got the concept shopped around at like Hasbro and some things like that. But, you know, which was interesting, but it just wasn't, you know, what. They actually wanted something more toy-like. But anyway, so it didn't really go anywhere. It just kind of sat on the shelf. And I was actually activated in the reserves to go to the Middle East, but all these other things. But, you know, a number of years later, someone was in a gift shop, and they saw a game called S'mores the Card Game. And they took a picture of it and said, "Jeff, is this your game?" And I said, "No, it's not, right?" You know, and so, "Oh, no, there's a game out there, and it's, oh, it took my toasted marshmallow theme, and oh, what am I going to do?" So I didn't know what I was going to do. And then I said, well, you know what? Let me dust it off and look at it again. It's around 2012. And, you know, actually what I decided to do was my game really wasn't very much like that game. I actually reached out to that publisher called Education Outdoors. And I said, hey, I know I've always seen their games in places that I'd love to see this game. You know, they're in gift shops at national parks and things like that. And I just said, hey, I've got this game. Do you take outside submissions? And Tim Pachesky out there, a very, very great guy. He could sell, a great salesman, too. He could sell ice to Eskimos. You know, he said, sure, I'll take a look at it. And he liked it. And so signed a little licensing contract. And so he took it off. And now you can find the game Toasted or Roasted, you know, in those gift shops at Zion National Park or Grand Teton National Park, actually, is where one of my friends sent us a picture from, which is great.
That's great, and I've seen the game. The packaging for it is great because it's like a Mylar zip top bag, and you know it's definitely designed like, yes, this is a card game, but go play it outside somewhere.
Exactly, yeah. You can take it in there, and that's something that Tim brought to the design, right? You know, it's really a really fun thing as you kind of share your ideas with people. If you can be generous enough and they're generous enough to add, you know, really all these projects become much better the more people you involve in it.
Yeah.
And the more people that are willing to do that or you're willing to accept as part of your project. Because sometimes it's, you know, kind of tough. It's like your baby and you know, you don't want people to change it. But I would say many, many of the most impactful things about Moonquake Escape have really come as ideas from someone else. You know, and it's like, you know, and I was smart enough to say, hey, that's not a bad idea, you know. You know, some really key things that just kind of changed, you know, just the feel of it and, you know, how sure. You know, people can make decisions that weren't there before. And that's really the funnest thing about Moonquake Escape is there's, every decision is very simple, but you can string a bunch of them together into some very different options of what might happen.
Yes, and, definitely.
For yourself, so, in just a very simple way,
So, so you mentioned how you came up with Moonquake Escape, and then we went backwards. We talked about Toasted and Roasted. Where did Flashlights and Fireflies come from?
Yeah, that's interesting. So, you know, I have a designer's notebook. It's just called, you know, Jeff's Bright Ideas book. And so, you know, sometimes I'll just jot ideas in there. And usually, you know, like the Toasted or Roasted, I like to think of, you know, what did I do as a kid? What kind of activities were fun, and can I make a game about those? You know, because the games I like, I have fun designing, and I just do it as a hobby. Or like, you actually do the thing that you're doing, right? So with Toasted or Roasted, you know, it has a stick and a fire, and so you place the card on the end of the stick, and it's over the fire. You know, so you're toasting the marshmallow, right? So anyway, I just think about, you know, ideas. So I had just written down at some point the word flashlight freeze tag. I just written that down, and I was actually just kind of bored one day, and I was just flipping through the notebook, and I saw this one sentence thing on a page, flashlight freeze tag, and I said, all right. You know, and I just started thinking about how would you play Flashlight Freeze Tag? And so I was just thinking about, well, maybe it's a grid and you're, you know, you collect, you know, you kind of energize, you know, a row and a column to, you know, peek at a spot. You know, that's what you're aiming a flashlight or something like that. But really what it came down to was I was in just a very boring business meeting and, you know, we weren't on the agenda. We were next on the agenda. I was just sitting there, and I just, you know, just kind of in that bored moment, just said, "Oh, you know, what if it was this kind of hide and seek thing?" And really, I just had these kind of couple of images in my mind of what I wanted to evoke and play. I just had this notion of like, you know, turning over a card and like it's a log, or turning over a card, and there's the player frozen and like, "Oh, you got me!" Or turning over a card and like it's a bear. You know, just those. Kind of images were in my mind, and so I just kind of went with this hide and seek thing, and I started prototyping it out with just playing cards, and then I sort of got the notion about the fireflies. Boy, if on the back of the tiles that were the firefly tiles, it just looked like little bitty fireflies. Once you arrange all the tiles out, it looks kind of like a field of fireflies flying around, and so just those kind of things came just by playing around with the with the components and just and the more time you give yourself and the more playing you do, just playing with your game, there's the game itself you've got to play with, obviously, but then just playing with the pieces that you're doing, sometimes, the more time you give yourself, the more, because I'm slow at this, some people can just do it. It needs to percolate a while with me.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. I don't feel like I could design a game whether it took me a little time or a long time, so I just...
Well, don't put yourself down.
I just like playing them and talking about them.
Like I said, the Toasted or Roasted, I really just kind of borrowed that core mechanic and just kind of made it my own and did that. And if you're inspired, you can do it. And, not every game needs to be published. I have 3, 4, 5 other ideas that are so half-baked that they're not ready, but I really, just kind of thought they were fun, and so I've got some satisfaction of, kind of being creative with some of these ideas that will never see the light of day.
Sure. So, part of what I found out talking to you this weekend is that your big news is that Moonquake Escape is now in stores.
Yes. It was in stores, retail stores, starting the 15th of January, but today, the wonderful publisher Breaking Games has enticed them with 6 titles are showing up in all Barnes & Noble stores. Today, the 9th of April, and now you'll know by me saying the date today. Your audience will now know how long it is between you recording a broadcast and putting it on the air. But if you went to Barnes & Noble's today, you would find Moonquake Escape and 5 other great Breaking Games titles. Breaking Games has just done a great job with Moonquake Escape, making it real a very complicated game to create, and I knew I needed to find a very special company that would continue to work
willing,
with that.
Yes. Yeah, willing to keep the complexity of the components to keep the game itself relatively simple to play.
Yes, and so I've been very, very happy with everything they've done with the game, and they're just really a unique company that's really well suited for this time of the board game industry. Just with all these individual creative endeavors out there, individual creators, but also, anyway, I've just been very happy.
Well, it's been great talking to you, Jeff. You heard it here first. You can go take a look at Moonquake Escape in Barnes & Nobles all around the country.
Yes.
But possibly also in your friendly local game store.
Absolutely.
As well as Toasted and Roasted. And did I say that right?
Toasted or Roasted.
Toasted or Roasted.
Yes.
And Flashlights and Fireflies, which is anywhere that Game Right games are sold.
Absolutely.
So thank you very much, Jeff. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you, Anitra. And I really enjoy your program. And thanks for playing Moonquake Escape. Took you 3 years, but I think it was well worth it.
It was worth it.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that interview with Jeff Johnson. Certainly an interesting guy. Anitra had a lot of fun at Granite Game Summit. You can check out episode number 42 to hear about her experiences there. While you're doing that, please hit us up on our website, thefamilygamers.com, or on Facebook, facebook.com/familygamersAA. You can also tweet at us, twitter.com/familygamersAA. Email Andrew@thefamilygamers.com, Anitra@thefamilygamers.com. Finally, please head over to iTunes, leave us a review on iTunes, and subscribe to the show. We very much appreciate that. Are there things you'd like to hear us talk about on The Family Gamers? Please let us know, because we are very interested in your feedback, and we want to give you what you want to hear. So, until next week, play games with your kids.